This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 356. Like fake Miley Cyrus would say, it's pretty cool. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to yet another brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm good.
That's so good. Did you have a good week?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
Did you?
I did. You know, it's one of those weird things where, like, your job's coming to an end and you kind of have, like, this weird freedom where you're just like, whee!
No, I never had that.
Oh. You haven't had that?
No.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Aw, oh, I'm sad for you.
I know.
Yeah, like, you got them where we were like, whee!
No, there was never a whee! It was, I mean, like, what the fuck do I do now?
Yeah. No, I mean, like, you have that, but there's, like, this one clarity moment where you understand that you can't do anything about it, so it is what it is, and you're just like, well, fuck it. Whee!
Yeah, no.
No?
Nope.
I'm so sorry for you. Well, anyway, so I had my wee moment, and I was like, wee! And I'm feeling pretty good. You know, if you follow me on Twitter, you know that I have a new day job starting this week. I'm super psyched about it, and it's going to be pretty freaking cool. And I don't want to say it like the Miley Cyrus way, but I kind of just did, so.
It's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. But I'm not talking about that today. Before we get into what we're getting into, which is actually anime today.
I know, very anime intensive.
Well, we decided that, you know, we've been so heavy on the game stuff. And don't get me wrong, there's been a lot of game stuff to be on. And I got, like, a little bit of game stuff. But it's mostly anime today. And so, it's for you guys.
This is for you.
So, but before we jump into that, we want to talk about our question from last week, which you put out, the Esh question of the week, which Panda was.
It's, what was your favorite thing from GTA?
And
moment, activity that you like to do in game your sandbox-wise, any game mechanics you happen to like. And guys, I think about these questions really hard. I think more than four answers should happen in a week.
Yes, because she's now tweeted more than four times.
Like,
so.
I totally put so much more effort, and only four people were like, I have an answer for this. I don't know what else you guys want me to do.
Panda.
I'm just saying, I'm trying really hard.
Don't always link to the Facebook thing if you're putting it out on Twitter, because they probably just want to tell you on Twitter. So just tell them, hey, use hashtag EshQuestion and answer our question, and you'll be in our podcast next week. You only did that like twice, though. Everything else was like, here's the question. Go here, and it's a Facebook link.
And if I'm to the picture that I put.
Well, just put the fucking picture in
and
Twitter.
And actually, those on the Twitter were actually not linked straight to the Facebook. It was actually just the image that I put on the Facebook.
This is what I'm saying. So, you know, make it easy for people. If you're on the Twitter, give them the question in the photo, man. Don't make them go to Facebook. What if they ain't got data like that, you know? Like, what if they don't have that kind of data plan, man? They can't be hopping on applications all the time. Maybe they don't have enough memory. You don't know. Make it easy. But for those of you who did answer, we appreciate you answering our question.
Of course we do.
We'll have another question at the end of the show for next week, which will be awesome. I'm going to go ahead and share mine first. And then I think you picked up a couple of people's answers. So we'll share those as well. And I'm kind of curious to see what your answer
is. I'm surprised you don't already know what it is.
I mean, I have a sinking suspicion that I know what it is, but I don't want to really ruin the surprise for myself right now.
Okay.
So I've talked about it before that I, you know, have enjoyed rolling around the city, picking up hoes, taking them down to the docks, getting a little on, and then, you know, if I needed the cash.
Wait, they have beds at the docks?
No, but if you're in, like, a bad car, like, the suspension creaks when the car bounces.
Right.
So you hear that because of the suspension.
Right, right. You're right.
Right? So, you know, and if you need a little money, just a little cat-cat, and, you know, you got your pockets up and you're feeling good, you roll on out of there, and things happen. But it's actually, like, not my favorite thing to do in GTA. Across the board, really and truly, my favorite thing in GTA is to roll around town listening to the radio stations.
You're a music person.
I am a music person, but I mean, you know, between the different talk radio things that are just like crazy and over the top, like there are times where I'm like, I don't even need to do a mission right now. I'm just going to see what the hell is going to be on the radio. Between good music and a different breakdown of genres and then like the crazy ass, ridiculously politically charged, just wrong radio stations. I really enjoy that. So that's my, I think, across the board, like, one of my favorite things to do in every GTA that I've ever played has been listening to the radio stations when I'm in a car.
Aww.
What about you, Panda?
I like shooting cops in the face.
I knew it. I knew it. Like, in my heart of hearts, I was like, she's gonna say shooting cops
in the face. I was gonna say titties! But then I was like, but really, it's shooting cops in the face.
I will say, titties are much better in GTA 5.
Oh my god, it's not just boobies with pasties anymore. It's like
boobs.
Boobs.
So, you know, cheers to boobs.
Cheers to boobs.
Not just because I'm drinking, but cheers to boobs.
But yeah, so yeah, shooting cops in the face, especially when I don't intentionally plan to shoot a cop in the face and I just happen to do it.
You are like the most happenstancing shooting people in the face. It's like,
I happen to have a gun pointed at your face.
Like, we'll be in missions, I'll be like, why do you have your gun out right now?
I'm like, because I feel antsy.
You know, it's like, dude, zip up your fly, put that thing away. But instead, you're just like, I just have it out. I'm not going to shoot anybody. Plap. Uh-oh, get in the car.
Oh, totally shot that dude in the face by accident. Oh, a cop saw me, capped him too.
Oops.
Have to clean up my trail. And then the trail just gets worse. And then we die.
Yes.
And we haven't even gotten to play multiplayer online yet.
No.
It doesn't come out until this week.
Well, and you and I won't be able to play multiplayer because we're on different platforms.
I know. So sad.
Yeah, you sound so sad about it. Don't get me started.
So sad.
I'm really not happy with
I'm
you about
pouting.
That.
Pouting.
I'm really not happy with you about that.
What? I wanted to see if there was going to be a difference between platforms. And as this media, it is our job to do
You just didn't want to play online with me. It's okay.
That's... Oh my god, really?
All right, you wanted to play with other people. I understand your need to experience other gamers. It's fine.
Anyway.
I'm just going to continue to drink my drink.
Yeah, please do.
All right, so, cops in the face. Not
cops
surprising.
Shooting cops in the face.
Okay, because I know it's not driving.
F the police. No, it's definitely not driving. If I said what was your least favorite thing about GTA, it would be driving for me. Because I have never been good at it.
Nope.
And then Saints Row makes me feel better about it. But then I go back to GTA, and especially with 5, they're like, no, pretty much everything is going to involve a high-speed chase.
Yes, but can we say, I hate flying in GTA 5.
I hate planes even more now. Thank you, GTA 5. For making me realize just how much they suck and how much I will never be a pilot, not only because of my irrational fear of flights and being in the air, but also how you guys make me think that up is down and down is up and left is right and right is left.
What?
Like, I'm so fucked up with my directionals now because of planes.
Oh my god. So, Redertainment hit us up on the Twitter. And said that his favorite thing was jumping off of tall buildings in GTA 4 and watching Nico Bellic's animation because it was really cool. And I was trying to remember how Nico was when you jumped off a building. And I think when you jumped off a really big building, like, you flailed around a bit. Like, he didn't jump like he was, like, a paratrooper or anything and he knew what he was doing.
Right.
So it was kind of like the way that I would look if I jumped off a building and be like, oh my god, shit, what the fuck? So I'm gonna have to go back and look at that now, because I don't remember jumping off a building at Nico, but that's a cool one. I do think that as long as you have a parachute, jumping off a building.
Well, I mean, jumping off a building and surviving and or dying. I mean, like, I know that in GTA 5, that I've had a couple instances so far that I've fallen off of a building. And, like, I like now that when you fall from a great height, like, even if it's a height you think you would just break a leg from, you just die from now. And your whole body is broken and mangled, and you have to stare at your mistake for, like, 8 seconds.
Yeah, before
the mission restarts.
Or you pop out of a hospital.
Yep, like, yeah, we want you to realize that that was stupid.
But see, if you have a parachute, you can deploy the parachute, which will help. But you have to buy parachutes now. You don't just automatically have a parachute.
Of course you don't.
Because, I mean, you just don't roll like
that. I'm never that prepared.
Who rolls like that? No one. No one.
But GTA is like, you might want to.
But, no. Yeah. So, for me, another one that was really cool we got from Untitled Life, and it was driving from point to point on the map. And that's one thing that I think we take for granted a lot when you look at a GTA is, you know, having such an expansive map and, you know, a waypoint system that really and truly is very easy to follow and get to where you want to go. And, you know, all the different things that you see as you drive across the area is kind of really interesting. So I thought that was a really good one because really Grand Theft Auto is about the auto, you know, it's not just about running around. It's about the driving, and the driving should be tight, and the driving is tight. It is very unforgiving of mistakes.
Yes, it is.
Or, you know, poor judgment.
Which I have both.
Well, that's okay. You're going to work on it. Thanks for everyone for sharing your stuff with us. There were a couple more, but they're pretty much centered around driving. So I think we can all agree that driving is one of the better things about Grand Theft Auto.
For some people.
Period. Across the board. So let's jump into the rest of our show. Got a little bit of game stuff for you, and then we're going to go right into anime, because I've been watching a bunch of series. Panda has been watching a bunch of series, most of which are ones that I recommended to her like a month ago.
I know, and you were right. Moving on.
I'm just saying, I love hearing it. You were right. You were right. You were right. Such a nice sound. But on the game front, one of the things that came out this week, I mean, there was a lot of different things that came out this week, but the one that kind of stuck with me most was that the Xbox One is not a system that you should put vertical to try and play a game.
Okay? Nope, it's not built to be vertical.
Nope, it is built to be horizontal.
It's hip to be horizontal.
Okay. Microsoft has come out and said, look, you can do it if you want to, but at your own risk, and it's going to mess up your warranty.
You want to, but it's going to fuck up your games.
I wish you had another line to go with that.
I really did. I was trying. I was trying, but that's as far as
that
goes.
Was so perfect. But, frankly, I'm not surprised by this. When you think about it and all the things that have gone into the system and every photo that we've ever seen of the Xbox One, it's never been vertical. That kind of hinted to me that it shouldn't be put vertical. And, you know, even with the slot drives, and I know that the Xbox 360 was a system that you could put vertically, I don't think that it's a smart way to go to have a vertical system. Frankly, with spinning discs and things like that, there's just a lot of things that could go wrong, and gravity at that point is not your friend when you have a vertical system. So, you know, it just kind of makes sense to me. I mean, I even have my Wii U, even though I have the vertical stand for it, I typically have it horizontal when I have the space. If I'm using my Apple TV and other things, I end up putting it vertical, but I won't let any discs spin in it, because I'm just a big believer in that a vertical stand for a spinning disc is not the best way to go when it comes to gaming. So it really wasn't very surprising to me, but it seems like it was really surprising to a lot of people in the community, because I've seen a bunch of backlash on this one. How about you, Panda?
About what?
What I was just talking about.
What? I personally like to keep my consoles on the horizontal. I've never stood them up. Because I'm like, knowing me and my way of tripping over shit and touching shit when I shouldn't be touching shit and things falling down and breaking, especially for me, Miss Accident Prone herself, speaking from realness.
I do appreciate your realness.
You know, knows that the best way to keep devices from not breaking is to keep them on flat surfaces at all times.
That makes sense.
So I am not surprised that the Xbox One is not meant to stand up. If they were meant to stand up, they'd have legs. Okay? Like, I'm sorry. They would. They would have legs and they would stand up. They would come standing up in their box like a doll. And they don't. They're laying flat and they're swaddled in their styrofoam and their plastic puffy bags. And that's that. So I don't know why people are like, oh my God, they took away that option. I'm like,
it shouldn't have been an option.
It was never, obviously it was never going to be one, but I don't know why they would have, why they'd make it that. Because I don't know too many people who have their 360s sitting up.
No, because we learned that not a good position.
But I'm just saying, like, why even issue that as a possibility? I'm like, where would you want it sitting up, like, on a shelf? Like, would you want to hide your Xbox, like, among books? I mean, that would be kind of clever. But, like...
Yeah, I don't need to really my Xbox on a bookshelf.
You know, like, I mean, I kind of want it in my entertainment area. And my VCR and my cable box all lay horizontal, so I want it to fit in. I'm not trying to be different.
But you are different.
I'm trying to be one of the sheep of the herd. I'm not trying to be a sheepdog. I'm not trying to lead. I'm not.
Okay. All right. We get it. You're not trying to lead,
Panda. I'm not trying to lead.
We got it. You are not the leader. You are not pack leader. We got it.
Nope. So.
I just thought it was interesting. And then, you know, Sony coming out and basically saying a similar thing.
I believe. That seemed to be horizontal.
Basically, you know, I mean, frankly, at this point, I really just don't care. I just want the systems in-house and great games to play on them.
I want my next console to hover. Really? I want my next console to be like a fucking Roomba, and I have to chase it to put my discs in it. To promote
I want activity. My next console to not use discs except other for installing of a game.
Really? Well, that's the progression. I think we're going to see that moving forward.
I think it would be really cool to buy a game on disc, and literally the process of it is you install it on your drive.
And then you don't ever have to have the disc again unless you have a problem.
And then you don't have to refer to the disc unless you need to reinstall
some files.
Correct. Because frankly, most of my games that are very graphic intensive, that's what I do with them anyway. I install both discs or single discs, depending upon the game, and then run it from my hard drive as opposed to running it off disc. So that way I can utilize the majority of the power of the console and basically treat it like a PC game where you would do your install from the disc and then run it off your drive. Same thing. I really want that to happen on my consoles because that really opens up a lot more power options and availabilities because you don't have a disc in there spinning around at 7,200 RPM, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I would prefer that. I don't know that we'll ever get there because there'll be people like, I just want to play the game right now. I don't want to wait 5 minutes to install it.
Those people obviously were not the people who had to wait that first day for GTA 5.
I'm like, you waited in line for hours. You can't wait 5 more minutes.
I'm just saying, you went to the midnight release, you waited an hour in line.
Minimum.
Then you drove maybe 20 minutes back to your house.
So we're talking an hour and a half.
And then you had to sit there for maybe another 45 minutes while it installed to your PS3. Or Xbox 360. So you already waited a huge chunk of time, so please hashtag get over it.
Really? We're talking in hashtags now.
Well, I'm just that one.
Okay. So we'd like to know what you think about that. You can hit us up on our Facebook page, share your thoughts as well. You know, how do you feel about the verticality or
non-verticality? How do you feel?
Is this going to be a musical podcast
for about you? The horizontal consoles? I'm so weird.
You are a weirdy pants.
I am.
So I'm going to jump into anime real quick because I can't follow that. So we're just going to switch gears.
Sure.
This is the hard shift in the transmission. Yeah, I've been drinking. for the podcast because I can't follow that. So I've been watching a bunch of anime. We've already talked about Attack on Titan. We've talked about a couple of other series that have popped up. You know, we mentioned Sunday Without God.
Yep, Sunday Without God, which finally closed out its first arc.
And I think it went very well. But the series that I want to talk about today is one that appears to be a series that was previously released, but it didn't get a big release. And so it's just kind of made its way back into distribution digitally. And it's called Ghost Hunt. And it was originally a light novel. And it's a detective type series.
Okay.
And what I find interesting about it, and you can find it in a couple different places. You can find it on Crunchyroll. You can find it on Hulu Plus. You can also find it on Netflix. I've been watching it on Netflix, and on Netflix, you have the option for the subtitled or the dubbed. And I don't typically watch series dubbed, but I thought, you know what, from the structure of this one, I'm going to try it dubbed and just see how bad it is or not.
Oh, God.
And so I watched the first episode dubbed, then I went back and watched the first episode subbed, and it really wasn't that much difference, to be honest with you, is the dialogue that was presented on screen in the subtitled as the dubbed version. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and give this one a shot and watch it dubbed. So that's what I chose to do. What I like about the series is for the majority of the season that's available streaming right now on your media cases, it takes multiple episodes to get through a story or a file case, if you will. Because the structure, like I said, it's a detective series. It's basically around the Shibuya Psychic Research Center. And the Psychic Center is run by this 17-year-old kid, a guy named, and I don't want to mess it up, so I'm going to go to my notes here because I tend to butcher these names really, really badly. Kazuya Shibuya.
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 The guy can sure detect Shibuya. Shibuya. But seriously, dog?
Yeah.
All right. So, Kazuya is a paranormal researcher and manages the Shibuya Research Psychic Research Center. And he's your typical cold, I don't want to necessarily say brooding, because he's not really very emotional, but kind of matter of fact.
He's laconic.
He is. And comes off as narcissistic and arrogant.
Sounds like my type.
Another character that we meet, which is basically his counterpart, if you will.
His partner.
Well, not really partner, because the Psychic Center really is Kazuya and this guy named Lin, who is his assistant. And Kazuya doesn't really have a lot of people working in the office or really partners. He's very much a lone wolf. However, it's more in his mind that he's a lone wolf than in actuality, because on every case he ends up bringing in some support friends who also work the case with him. A Buddhist monk, a Shinto priestess, and a Catholic priest. And I think the Catholic priest is supposed to be an Irish Catholic priest, but he comes off as being kind of more Scottish English than Irish.
Okay.
But he's blonde hair, blue eye.
Father Anderson from Helsing?
Yeah, kind of like that. But he's a young boy, blonde hair. You know, that kind of stuff. If you looked at him, you would think that he was, like, 16.
Okay.
And so these guys end up working these cases with Kazuya and ultimately Mai. And we meet Mai in the first episode, and she really doesn't come off as being anything special. But the narrative and the story that is told and presented is all through her perspective. So it's her retelling of her experiences.
Right.
Through these characters. And the stories themselves are, you know, a little spooky. None of them are real gruesome or anything like that. So it's totally not like Another. So if you're looking for something like that, this is not that. But it's very interesting because it's not so much a, like Scooby-Doo type setup where you get through the whole detective thing and it turns out it was always a person. It was never supernatural or anything like that. There are in times factually when it is supernatural that there is a ghost or there is a spirit of some kind or some otherworldly thing interacting with the world. And that these guys have to figure out a way to deal with it, you know, and not die. So I really enjoy that. Like I said, Mai, you meet, and she's a 16-year-old high school student who accidentally becomes involved because she's chasing stuff down and she thinks she sees something. She goes into this space and a bookshelf is about to fall on her. So Lynn jumps in the way and moves her away from this bookshelf, but Lynn gets hurt, and the video camera that Lynn and Kazuya have set up to basically keep a watch on this space and see if any paranormal activity happens breaks. So Kazuya's like, well, you're going to have to come work for me to work off your debt then, because I don't think that you can afford this camera outright. And so that's how Mai ends up working for
this unit,
the Shibuya Psychic Research Center. But what's cool is as you get further down into the episodes, you find out that it actually turns out that Mai has some innate psychic abilities of her own. And they start coming to light and rising up as you go through the series. So it's actually very interestingly done. While Mai, more times than not, ends up being the comic relief or the, fun saccharine moment after all this weird, strange seriousness.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really nice balance. It's a lot of fun. Like I said, it was running on TV from, I want to say 2006 to 2007, but it might have been a little bit into late 2007. There's only 25 episodes of the anime, and I believe at least on Netflix they only have like the first 14, because like I said, most of the files, these cases, are multiple episodes. So like the first case is actually 3 episodes. There's one case where it takes 4 episodes.
Oh, Conan did that.
Yeah, to get through it. Absolutely, absolutely. So it borrows from that, and it just feels like a very well thought out series, and I think it's because the manga that it was based off of was very well thought out as well and long running. There were a couple of light novels that were done originally from 89 to 92 and 94 to 95. There's one manga run that ran from 98 to 2010. And then the current manga running based off of Ghost Hunt, which is not something that I'm going to try to pronounce because it's going to be bad, is running in the Aria magazine. And it started in 2012 and is, you know, continuing to run. So there's a lot of really neat things about it. Like I said, there are some great support characters. So it's almost like an ensemble piece, very much like Ragnarok.
Right. Okay.
Where you have multiple players that are on a team, but they're not necessarily part of the detective company.
Right.
So you have Lynn Cujo, who is Kazuya's tactician and assistant. He has a lot of skills. He's done spirit summoning. He's involved
exorcism?
In almost every single exorcism. And he's been friends with Kazuya ever since they were kids. You've got Hosho Takigawa, that's the Buddhist monk, who's also in a band, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So he plays, like, bass. So, like, there are times he'll roll into an episode and he won't be in his monk garb, but he'll be in, like, his, like, I'm a flower boy outfit with his hair done up and stuff and, like, wearing leathers, and you're like, go ahead, monk with your bad self. There's, Akio Matsuzuki, Matsuzaki, I'm sorry. She is a shrine maiden, and she's actually comes from a wealthy family. So She's not really, like, of the shrine okay. Raven, which I don't even understand how you can have any kind of spiritual power if you're not of the shrine, but...
Then you might just be supernatural.
I'm guessing that she just likes to wear the outfit.
Hey, sometimes you have to dress up and feel pretty.
Then you've got John Brown, who's the
That's a very American name.
Yes, he's the Catholic priest from Australia.
He's the token American.
Yeah.
Token foreigner.
Yeah, yes, he is. So he oftentimes participates in exorcisms and reads from the Bible and all that kind of stuff and puts on his garb. And then you have...
The power of Christ compels you.
Yeah, pretty much. Then you have Masakahara. She's a 16-year-old spirit medium. She's always wearing a kimono, very rarely lets her hands out, but she oftentimes comes off like she's flirting with Kazuya, which makes Mai upset because Mai actually like has a first-year girl crush on him. But because he's so cold all the time, it's like one of those, why does he have to be so mean? Oh, my God, he just looked at me. We shared a secret. So I'm like,
what secret was that?
You know?
Did you just poop your pants?
No, they fell in a well. And he's like, don't tell anybody that I can bend spoons. And she's like, okay.
But never mind.
It's a weird thing because they get into, you know, the different levels of psychokinesis and different powers. And what's really cool is that they do explain everything. And every time they explain all of the new science that they're bringing up or about to reference, Kazuya always explains it so that as a viewer, if you don't know what they're talking about,
you're going to learn
what it is, but he always couches it in the terms of, let me explain it so that even Mai can keep up with us. And she's like, why is he always so mean? Yeah. And so then he breaks it down and explains it. And you're like, oh, yeah, he's being so mean explaining it like this to Mai. And you don't realize, dumbass, you're Mai.
I know, you're Mai.
We're telling the story from her perspective. So in essence, we're Mai.
Hey, that dude sitting down, you're Mai.
Yeah, you're a girl.
That popcorn is also Mai, but it doesn't have a conscience. So
it's not even aware that it's Mai too. That's all right. It's okay. And then there's a couple more characters that come in later on in the series. I haven't gotten to them yet, but one is called Osamu Yasuhara, and supposedly he does a lot of research and off-site stuff and setup. He doesn't really have any psychic powers. But he's really, really smart. So a lot of times he's great at the deductive reasoning. So he's basically Bruce Wayne without the gizmos and gadgets and the money and probably both of his parents
and the
are
gadgets
still alive.
And gizmos aplenty?
No. No, I wasn't going there.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Okay.
So there's a lot of really cool pieces to the series. And I don't typically go back and watch a lot of older series if I didn't catch them to begin with when they were running, because more times than not, if I didn't catch it when it first was licensed, there was probably a reason. But I have to say, I've been pleasantly surprised by Ghost Hunt, because it's a series that is typically right up my alley, and it doesn't disappoint. I've been drawn into the episodes. I've been through 4 cases already. The shortest one that I've been through has only been 2 episodes long, but I've got a couple episodes coming up that are only single episodes. So I like that it's not just a, here's a story and it ends in 24 minutes, and here's a story and it ends in 24 minutes, but here's a story, and for us to get through it all the way and do all the storytelling, plot-moving things that we want to do, it's actually going to take us an hour and a half to do that. So we're going to devote the amount of episodes that we have to do that to get through the story, and I really like that. So if you want to check out something new that's really only new to you, maybe, I highly recommend Ghost Hunt. I'm probably going to go back and at least try to read one of the manga series. I'm probably not going to read a light novel just because I'm not a huge fan of light novels, but I think I'm going to go back and try to find one of the manga translations and get through the manga as well, because as we all know, mangas tend to be deeper than what they're able to pull off in the anime series.
Absolutely.
So this is definitely one that I'm curious about the manga because of the anime. because it's that detailed. So that's one of the new ones that I've been watching that I recommend completely. Did not let me down. How about you, Panda? What you been watching lately?
I'm going to talk about an anime about a boy who plays with dolls.
Like,
I'm not even talking like Mecha or like Angelic Lair, like robot fighting dolls. Like, I'm talking
I want to watch Angelic Lair now.
I'm talking about pretty, pretty dolls.
Pretty, pretty princess?
Pretty, pretty princess dolls. I'm talking about Rose and Maiden.
Oh, wait. Those are some pretty, pretty princesses with a lot of baggage.
Oh, yes, indeedy.
Did you just have a heavy D moment?
Yep.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm back. I'll tell you what I got. Rose and Maiden.
Rose and Maiden.
Go. So, yeah. At first, I wasn't thinking about watching this, and you brought it to my attention initially.
Yep, I did.
Because you had talked about the most recent adaptation of the series. And I was like, well, maybe I'll watch that. And you're like, well, if you're going to watch that, you might want to watch...
You should probably go back and watch the original.
Because you're going to have no idea. So I was like, you know what? She's right. Which I feel like I say a lot more on this show as the year goes on.
I'm just saying, I'm so excited about that.
And so I took the time to marathon the first two other seasons before jumping into the third one.
And was I right?
Yes.
Yes!
But only because, I mean, granted, you could easily jump to the third series of this.
Right.
But you're not going to understand anything.
Of the references, because I mean, they reference the other series.
They in the first three episodes, they're really rehashing the first two series of anime and actually setting us up for the second arc of the manga. So if you haven't watched it before this, you're going to be even more lost, but you'll still be able to grab something new from this later on in the series.
It just sounds so confusing right now.
It is. So, there's a boy. His name's June.
June!
And he is going to be starting the second term of middle school, yep. Or you would think he would, but he's kind of a shut-in and a recluse because
he a hikikomori?
No. No, I wouldn't necessarily... Like, he's a shut-in, but why did that guy stay shut-in? Was he just, like...
He was afraid of the world. I was thinking of Welcome to the NHK.
So. See, and I didn't watch Welcome to the NHK.
What?
Nope, didn't do it. Anyway.
But it's so up your alley.
You know, people said that, too. And I
like, with peanut butter and chocolate.
I love peanut butter and chocolate. Anyway, so June... is supposed to start school, but he's refusing to go because there was this thing that happened, right? Like, he goes to school and everyone's like, he's so smart because he was.
Yes,
he is very, very, very smart and always got top grades on all the tests. And when it came time to test into middle school, he didn't do well. And then everyone's like, wow, he's kind of weird. Like, how could he be this smart and not get into school? And they all kind of started talking about him. And it made him have panic attacks. And he was just like, fuck this noise. Dropped the mic and just decided that he was going to live his life in his room.
Don't forget the drawing.
Oh, of the costume. Yeah.
Because that's the thing that set it over all the edge.
Off. So he dabbles in a lot of different hobbies. And he has a knack for creating things.
He makes pretty pictures with pencils and pens.
Yeah, he can draw. And well, he's got a lot of multitudes of hobbies and abilities and all that stuff. But they were doing a contest for I think it was like for a festival, like mm-hmm. to do costumes or something, and you could submit your choice. And he just drew something but didn't
enter it.
Wasn't planning to enter it, but he kind of left a book with it in it, and somebody found it and kind of blew it up and showed it to the whole entire world because he was impressed, but didn't actually, you know, help him win any friends because everyone thought he was like a pervert.
Everyone thought he was a pervert because this teacher that found this drawing, who was so excited about this great drawing, and it was a really fantastic costume, was like, and this was drawn like somebody great. And everyone's like, oh my God, who drew it? This is like so cool. And it's beautiful and all that kind of stuff. And then the guy said the name and it was a guy's name. And then everybody and in the audience
was like, oh my God, was he envisioning a girl when he drew it? Like, he's a perv.
And like, everyone started talking about him. And that's when the anxiety thing kicked in. Because the teacher later apologized. And was like, I didn't know it was going to be such a big deal. But that was like the That's final what kind of tipped thing it
for him.
That made him not want to go and be around people anymore.
At all. Now, mind you, mommy and daddy, because this series likes to play Disney a little bit, both parents apparently have such demanding jobs that they have to travel for work.
So they're all the time.
So they're never home.
Ever.
Like, we are in 33 episodes and there has not been a parent at the house at all.
No, they're working hard though. They're making that money.
I haven't seen they, I mean, they're supporting the house. Like, they have money to eat, but they're never there.
Ever.
So pretty much June's older sister is kind of responsible for him.
And the only parent-ish figure that
he has. But even though he kind of shuts himself in, he still finds ways to interact with the parts of the world that he wants to via the internet. Which a lot of
the internet is a beautiful thing.
I mean, we all can relate to that.
Especially for shut-ins.
And he would go and he would just buy all these things, you know, to look at them and understand them. And then if he really didn't want to keep them, he would just return them. So, I mean, like, he wasn't just bankrupting the family. But one day he gets this message from a holy, which I'll get into in a minute, whether or not to wind or to not wind. And literally he just, you know, thought about it and he just circled, yeah, I'll wind, and just left it at that. And then the next day, there was this beautiful ornate box in his room. And inside this box was a well-crafted, beautiful doll.
Beautiful.
Wearing this beautiful red dress, had blonde hair, these piercing blue eyes, and this golden wind-up key in this case with her. And he's, you know, flipping it upside down, checking out her shoes, you know.
Checking out her equipment.
Mm-hmm. And then
nervously, but he still did it because he's a perv.
You know, and this doll is eerily soft. Wink, wink.
Perv.
And, you know, obviously takes the key, winds it, and all of a sudden she begins to animate.
And not like beep, boop, beep, 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 boop, beep.
No, but I mean like having like a mini stroke and she becomes sentient.
Yep.
And, you know, this is our first Rosen Maiden. She's the fifth one, technically. And her name is Shinku, and she's very posh, and she's very choice with her words.
And proper.
And elegant, and has pretty much decided that June will be her manservant. And
is kind of a perv.
And, yeah, and kind of slaps him for, like, handling her in such an ill-fitting manner. And you think that they're just going to have wacky adventures, but this series takes a very serious tone.
It's German.
Yeah. So that should say enough.
I mean, it's based in German.
Yeah. So let me talk a little bit about the premise, because now I've just given you the first episode, essentially. So there are seven Rosen Maiden dolls created by this doll maker by the same name, Rosen.
That's why they're Rosen Maidens.
Yes. And he was such a great doll maker that no one has ever been able to surpass him. And these particular dolls apparently are alive because of his skill and his love for what his craft allows him to do. He can breathe life into dolls. These particular seven.
Because he's special.
Because Rosen, in his twisted German mind, when he was making these dolls, was aiming to create the perfect girl, Alice. But each of these dolls, even though beautiful in their own unique way, did not imbue or did not have all those attributes that, in his mind, the perfect ideal girl had. But they each have
a
piece of it. So he decides that these seven dolls would, once they were all awake and had masters, that they would compete in the Alice game, in which they would fight each other over their Rosa Mysticas. And that's like their soul.
The thing that makes them unique.
Unique. And if any of the dolls can collect the other six, they would then be reunited with Rosen and also would become this ideal girl. So, at the beginning of the series, we don't know how many dolls are actually awake. So we know that Shinku is. And right off the bat, we get attacked by another doll. So we know that another one is awake, so to speak, Shigento. And Shigento, who is actually eerily my favorite, isn't even complete. Now, it's weird because in the manga, Shigento is the first doll that was made.
Okay.
But the way that they present it in the series, they never talk. In the first two seasons, they don't talk about their number order, which I thought was weird because I would kind of like to know going into that, their birth order, quote unquote. But anyway, Shigento happens to be the main antagonist in the first season, really, because she's just got it in for Shinku. She just wants to beat Shinku. She doesn't really care about anybody else, but if they get in the way of stuff, then she's going to intervene. But, like, Shinku's popular, and she has her torso, and I don't like that. And that's essentially what that whole season was about. But in the second season, because this is where you start getting into the character development of each of the dolls and, you know, what they've been through, and it kind of makes you think about dolls and the plight that they can have. Like, I've never thought about it
before. I've never thought of the plight of the Barbie, but...
Well, no, not Barbie necessarily, but I mean, like, those beautiful antique dolls.
No, they weird me out. I can't be near them. Their eyes right. are, like, so weird.
And that's the point. Like, they are...
Like, I'm pretty sure that they steal souls in the night.
Well, I mean, even in another series that we talked about earlier, Another, you know, Mai talks about empty dolls, because empty dolls, you know, are close to death because they are void of anything. And they desperately
want... You're freaking me out just in your statements right now. I just want you
to
know
just telling you, be careful. Don't go to a doll museum.
I don't go to doll anythings.
Because they'll suck out your soul. Because they desperately
want dolls.
They want to be filled with something.
Action figures I'm okay with, but I don't trust dolls.
But anyway, in the second season, Tramad, we are finally introduced to the other two dolls. Actually, that's still only six. But we're introduced to Conneria, which has a violin and kind of says, I guess, or I suppose, a lot. Like, it's supposed to be endearing, you know? But, you know, it's not, you know? And it kind of gets, you know,
look, it annoying, took us you know? Years to stop you from saying, you know, every other minute. So
you know?
Don't start, because it's not endearing. We know
just,
that.
But I'm just saying. And she says, I guess, or I suppose, in that manner. And I'm like, I understand what you're trying to do, Rosen Maidens, but no.
You're just annoying me. Stop.
It's not doing it. And so in the second season, we get a new antagonist. And I'm going to mess up her name because these names get really fucking ridiculous. But we get Baris Tsushisho. And she seems to be the most powerful of all of them, which doesn't make sense because technically she would be the sixth doll. So she would have been the last one made. But as all the dolls are awake and they realize that they have to engage in the Alice game and they have to essentially kill one another in order to achieve Rosen's agenda.
Did you mention Soy CK?
I haven't mentioned the twins yet.
Okay.
So, because there are two dolls in the group. They are twins. So they were made together and they both share eyes from each other. So they have a red eye and a green eye, and that's kind of creepy.
You think?
They actually play a more serious role in the manga and in the third season of Rosen Maiden, because it airs on the side of the manga. But they don't really get into it in the first two seasons. But these twins are considered the dream gardeners, because there are life trees and dream trees, and I'm not even going to go into that, because that's just, there's a lot that you could get into. You pick a subgroup of this thing and just run with it.
So the tree of life is in this thing?
Essentially. Every person's tree of life is like in it. But as these twins, they have the ability to help prune and grow a life tree. So like they are actually like the Dark Horse sleeper set. Because you don't realize. Because the series doesn't really put a lot of emphasis on them. Because they want you to look at June and Shinko. Because... June totally wants to put his real penis inside of...
Oh my god!
Shinku's fake vagina.
Why did you go there?
Because he does. And I'm just like...
You don't know that.
Yes, I do. You and don't. If you watch the series, you will too.
He's not that kind of a perv.
But anyway, so in the second season, they are pushed further into actually fighting each other for their pieces. And this mysterious last doll pretty much kills all of them. But it is revealed that Barashisho is actually not the actual last Rosen doll, because she was not made by Rosen. She was made by Rosen's apprentice, who wanted to be better than him, but obviously wasn't. And she was destroyed because she just couldn't handle all that soul. I mean, I don't know why none of these dolls are black. I'm just saying. But anyway, I really wanted to focus on the third season, which name is Zablushin. And I butchered it, and that's okay, because I can accept that about my abilities with words. Z-U-R, U with two dots over it, C-K-S-P-U-L-E-N.
Yeah. What she spelt.
That thing. And like I said, this really airs on the side of the manga, but it does rehash the first two seasons. But then it's like, you know what? I'm glad that you watched that, but we're not going in that direction.
Nope.
And in the third anime series, we are now dealing with two realities. We are dealing with the reality where June won the key, winded the key, and awoke Shinku. And we're also looking at the parallel universe of the June that did not wind the key.
Oh?
Because at the end of the second season, when all the dolls have been resurrected, except for a couple of them, but I suggest you watch the series to understand exactly why that happens, we get to see a glimpse of the real seventh Rosen Maiden doll. But we don't know who she is. We don't understand what her purpose is. But you do realize that she's most likely going to be the antagonist for season three. And she eerily looks a lot like Barashisho. So I actually feel like he was drawing the concept for the seventh. And then his protege was like, I can make one that looks like that, but better. And that's where, you know, Barashisho came from. But in the third series, we find out that the seventh Rosen Maiden doll, Kirakshio, I think. Kira, I'll just call it Kira.
Mm-hmm.
She was being conceptualized by Rosen, but she did not have a body. And I don't want to say corporeal, because it wasn't flesh and blood. They were dolls. But he had not gotten around to building her body. So her essence was a real, her being was real, but her form wasn't. And she wanted to have a form of her own, which it kind of makes some sense.
Right.
And the way that it sets it up is that she is targeting masters over dolls, which is weird because the Rosen Maiden, they're only supposed to have a master to give them more energy to fight other dolls. So it's weird for this entity to be able to target masters and not necessarily the dolls. So she has this weird ulterior motive of getting the June, who did not wind the key, to become her master, and therefore presents this contradiction of, you know, having a master who wasn't in the universe where Rosen Maidens actually exist. Because when you don't accept to wind, then Rosen Maidens can never exist in that reality. So
that's sad.
Yeah, and it's dark. And, you know, and it's great to see. I like how they're showing us this character, and we're seeing both sides of that coin. Because I know that I've watched a lot of series, and at the end of them, I've been like, I wonder what happens after this, or I wonder what happens if things had gone this way. And the third season is like, well, we'll show you what we think could have possibly happened.
Wham!
And, you know, and then I watch it, and I'm like, you hurt my brain so good, Rosen Maidens.
I have an owie, but I like it.
I like it so much. Please keep doing that. Keep hurting my brain. The animation completely jumps a notch from the first two seasons to the third.
Yeah, it's definitely dramatically different.
It is. I would say that the first two kind of remind me of the way that the series X was drawn.
Okay.
And then the third season kind of looks like, I want to say, Chobits. So you could tell that the animation style kind of changes.
Yeah, you can see it.
And they play more with CG and that stuff in the third season. So I just like the fact that our main character was a dude who was playing with living dolls and kind of had a thing for one, though they never outwardly expressed that, but it's totally a given, dudes. Like, he totally, at night, probably put his finger in her.
No, don't say that.
He did.
It's a possibility, but June's also really young, so I don't think he would. And let's face it, if he tried,
Shinku would have whipped him.
Like, beat his ass. You know, the thing that I loved about Rose and Maiden, which is why I recommended it for you, and I thought that it would be a perfect series, like, to be up your alley, is because it is so rich and deep. You know, there's a lot that is about the relationships between the dolls and each other, plus the dolls and their masters.
And their masters. And then the dolls and June.
Absolutely.
As a separate person, not even as a master.
Because they all gravitate toward him in a way. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what's so special about this one little introverted guy? Because it seems like the dolls are very selective about their masters.
Yes.
Even with the first question of, you know, will you wind or not? And everyone saying yes. It seems like that they're all very particular about looking for people with certain characteristics.
Yes.
So it's, you know, on one thing, it's kind of like a Pokemon thing of, like, you know, the relationship between the master and the
Pokemon,
or in this case, the doll, right? Because they're all battles.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's battling.
Yes.
At this point.
I mean, honestly, I mean, battles, I feel like it's just the focal point of, because they're all battling, whether it's a physical battle between dolls, it's battling between if they really want to compete in the Alice game or not, or if they want to fight against what the rule is and just try to live and exist without ever dealing with any of that, or
right, because
what that can and cannot mean.
In order to battle, these dolls actually have to use the power, or for, you know, lack of a better term, life essence of their master. So you have to find, you know, a master who is strong in order to give you the power to fight well in one of these battles that pop up. But if you haven't picked the right master, you're not on the right page, it's not going to work, and some bad things can happen.
And there's a lot of level of trust, too, between the doll and their chosen master. I mean, because one of the dolls that I didn't even talk about, Hina Itago, and she's technically the youngest one, besides the one that doesn't have a body. And she acts like a baby, and she kind of looks like a baby.
Yeah, she's very Shirley Temple with the curls.
Yeah, and everything. She is. And, I mean, they gave her such a big point. They gave her such a big task to do in the third season, which I liked. I liked her better in the third season than the first two. But she, you know, had a master, but did not fully understand what harnessing her master's energy would do to her master. Because if you use too much, too fast, you can potentially kill them.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, so they're playing with morality, they're dealing with struggles, and I mean, and they're all dolls. And it's really interesting if you think about it. Like, I mean, is this for everybody? Absolutely not.
No, definitely not.
I mean, I feel like they were trying to make this more shonen-esque by making the protagonist male. You know, and having to deal with, like, you know,
well, and basically making it a fake harem, right? Because, like, as we said, as you go deeper into the series, the dolls start gravitating more towards June.
Yeah.
And
they all, in their own way, have an affection or bond with June.
And so it's a way to kind of, it's not a harem anime, but it has that kind of tendency.
Yes.
That I do agree that it's definitely aimed at trying to be more for, hey guys, it's totally okay to watch us because this guy is going to end up with all these chicks. Sure, they're dolls. But he's going to have, like, his choice of the lot. There's a blonde with long hair, a brunette with long hair.
There's a brunette with short hair.
There's a brunette with short hair. There's, you know, if you're a pedophile type, there's one that looks like Shirley Temple. We got a gothy Lolita in there for you.
It's, like, totally moe.
Seriously.
It's moe to the seventh power. But, I mean, dark enough and deep enough to give it a look. Now, in all honesty, and I would not recommend that. Normally, I don't feel like I would recommend this. But if you're gonna jump into this series, I would actually say start with season 3.
Really?
I would say, yeah.
Why?
Because I feel like the way that it is paced and the way that it looks, it's very similar to what is popular and current now.
Okay.
So get those out of the way. And then when you go into seasons one and two, I feel like you'll actually do yourself more justice going backwards.
Really?
I do. Because
that's surprising.
Because it took me a bit to get through season one. Really, because the pacing is really slow.
Yeah, because one is throwing a lot of information at you, though.
But it's so slow. And then season two is like, we're faster, but we're going to give you even more now.
Try to keep up.
And like I said, season three is like, well, here's the first few episodes. Like, well, here's what happened in the first two seasons, but we're not even really talking about that.
Because we're on that next level shit.
So, I mean, you're getting a totally different story and a totally different plot level. Like a different story.
I think it's more of a plot point.
Yeah.
Because you pivot.
You're getting a different plot point.
Because in three, you kind of pivot and you go in a little bit different direction.
You're taking a left when you've been taking rights this whole time.
Right.
So, I mean, if you start there and you take that left, then you'll feel refreshed when you take those two rights in seasons one and two.
I feel like that's an accurate statement.
That's what I feel. But the anime, I don't believe that the third season has even completely ended yet.
No, it hasn't.
Because the way that, I mean, so far there's only 13 episodes in circulation right now on Crunchyroll.
Yep.
But the way that it has ended, I feel like the arc has ended, but I think we're going to get a second arc to season three. That's what I feel like they're doing with the third season. So I would recommend that.
Yeah, I feel like you're right. I think that you're going to get more of just more of season three as opposed to like a completely different takeoff again. But hey, don't quote us on that because it is German.
It is German.
So
no, I just feel like you get a deeper understanding of the characters from three because they throw more exposition and backstory to them that you don't get in the first two seasons. So then when you go into the first two, you're like, okay, so I should already understand that when we meet Soiseki that she's going to be kind of like this. And then when she is like that, you're like, oh, that's right, because in season three, we saw it with this. Instead of, why is she kind of bitchy? And why is she kind of pushy? And then they're like, oh, by the way, in season three, all this shit happened to her that made her bitchy. Like,
just in case you missed it.
Just in case you didn't know, because you didn't, because this is later. Happened. There's some stuff in the prequel that we never told you about that we didn't write. But I liked it. I know some of you will like it. So if you're looking for some, you know, Lolita, Moe, German stuff.
Because who's not, right?
I mean, come on, am I right? Then check out Rosen Maiden, but check out season three.
First. Then go and look at
one. Then go back. Don't say I didn't warn you.
Because she did.
Because I did.
So you'd be a liar.
Yeah.
Liar pants.
So yeah, that's what I, yeah.
That's all you got?
I've also been watching a series called Servant X Service.
Oh, yeah, that's what I recommended too.
Yes, and you were right about that one. And that's so me, it's not even funny. Though I know we're running out of some time.
That's okay, we got a couple minutes, so make it fast, make it good, go!
So civil servants, they're really kooky, maybe. There's a bunny. There's a chick with big boobies who has a really long name and she has a grudge because somebody okayed that shit. She doesn't know how to interact with boys. There's a boy there. He really likes her but likes to make fun of her name and finds out that his dad is the one who made her have the name and now he's conflicted about his feelings for her. There's also a girl who likes to dress up in cosplay and likes to dress up all the girls in the office that way and she's dating the manager who has a younger sister because their parents are dead or gone. And they're really poor, but he kind of can't let go of his sister, and his sister kind of has a thing for him, and he's been hiding the girlfriend for like 2 years now, and she's kind of getting fed up. And then there's a college girl who doesn't know what else to do with her life, and she just gets assaulted by old people all day long.
That's an accurate statement in summary of Serving X Service.
It is, but it's so cute. I love slice of life with a little bit of kooky.
And for those who don't know, what is slice of life?
So slice of life animes are like your Onomanga Daios or your Lucky Stars, where they look at a particular subset of people in their everyday lives. So like
it's like a facts of life.
Yeah. So like schoolgirls or waiters or in this case, civil servants. And it really because is just...
Because civil servants don't have enough shows about them.
Well, they don't. And the funny thing is, because, you know, they throw a whole lot of information about actually what civil servants do. You know, but they obviously put the spin of, you know, all these personal life things going on during the work day. You know,
and, which do happen.
Which does happen in life. And people, you know, always think, you know, oh, you just go to work. But obviously, you know, it has some merit because you can come home from work and be like, man, I should tell you what happened at work today. Because
there's
blah, 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 blah. And it's so refreshingly nice. And, like, it's got its jokes. And it delivers its jokes well. It is harmless. Like, yeah, the main protagonist girl, Lucy, has really big boobs. But she never wears anything low cut. They're never, like, busting out ever. She's actually kind of, like, trying to, like, repress them a lot.
Don't repress the tetas.
But, I mean, it really, if you want a palate cleanser that's upbeat, even though it does deal with, you know, a lot of human issues, and you want to get away from, like, you know, the German stuff, then check out Servant X Service.
Well, that sounds cool.
Yeah. I'm watching another one about vampires, but I don't know how long I'm going to
sit. We'll see how long that one lasts, because I'm in the same boat with you as that one. So we'll
see what happens. I struggle a little bit.
Maybe we'll have some news for that on next week. But I want to thank everyone for listening to our podcast, and for those of you who are listening to this show on the VOG Network.
Because you're participating on VOG.
Because you are participating on VOG, which is cool. That participation, however, comes up in the form of the question of the week.
Question of the week!
Or, you know, when you're just commenting on our podcast and letting us know what you think. But it's question of the week time. Panda.
Yeah.
What is the Esh question of the week?
Well, since we're approaching October. And we all know what's coming in October.
Beyond Two Souls.
Yeah, but I was talking about Pokemon.
Wait, you...
Okay. So, yeah, this is going
on. I was all excited. I thought this question was going to be in a completely different direction. It's a Pokemon-related question.
Yeah, you were all like, Beyond True Souls, and I was all like, Pokemon, bitch.
Damn it.
So, for all you Poke fans out there, I just want to know, X or Y?
Oh, really?
X or Y?
Oh.
And if you want to tell me why, so be it. And if you don't want to tell me exactly why, tell me which one and what starter.
Tell me why.
Tell me why you want a Pikachu.
Oh, Lord. I don't think anyone.
I don't even think he's a starter anymore.
I really don't think. And, you know, I don't.
He's not a starter anymore.
I can't even. Okay, well, since I can't keep up with this one, and I'm not going to have an answer next week, so I don't know how we're going to deal with this, but you can check out.
You can just say if you were going to play Pokemon,
if I
X or Y.
Going to play Pokemon, I put a bullet in my head. So
Pokemon is so awesome. I don't even know why we're having this conversation.
We're not having this conversation.
I'm going to start leaving people, Pokemon around so that you'll play.
I'm telling people how they can check out all of our written reviews and articles on our website, www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. And that's where the entire team writes up our reviews and previews. So you want to make sure that you're checking that stuff out over there. You can get our podcast in the iTunes music app on your desktop, the iTunes podcast application on your iOS device, or in the Xbox store by searching for Electric Sisterhood and hitting the subscribe button. You can also grab it on the VOG Network every Tuesday at, what's that time again, Panda?
8 Eastern.
Woohoo! So you can always stay up to date with the freshness from the Eshness.
Oh, I love what you just did right there.
Right? I just came up with that. So you want to do that. You want to hit us up on our Facebook page because you can answer our question of the week on our Facebook page at facebook.com/landofesh. Or you can find us on Twitter at ESH News. Use the hashtag #EshQuestions. ESH in the capitals, please. Makes it easier for us to do the search, by the way.
And please fucking use it.
Oh, like she said, but with the F word, though. And interact with us. Let us know what you're thinking.
Please talk
to
me.
We'll share some of your answers, if not all of your answers, on our podcast the following week. And we'll let you in on a little secret. We'll answer the question, too.
And make sure that you put that answer in before by midnight that Saturday.
That's right. So the S question will go live on Tuesdays. You guys have until Saturday of that week, midnight Eastern time, to get your answers in.
If you're a fan of the Facebook page, you get the question a day before everybody else.
Oh, snap. Value add. So with that, I'm going to turn to my assistant and say, hey, Panda.
Yeah.
What shit you digging this week?
Nothing.
You got nothing that you're digging this week?
Nah, I just flatlined.
Okay.
Do you have any shit?
Crinkle fries?
Did you try those Satis fries from BK?
Well, here's the thing. So you get the fries, right?
Right.
The fries by themselves are okay. Okay. But here's what you do with crinkle fries.
Okay? You put them in a burger?
Okay, so this other thing that you could do with crinkle fries to make them bomb, cover them with cheese, motherfucker.
How about bacon on top of that cheese?
Yeah, that's how you do that.
Well,
and loaded potato crinkle fries. Because then the cheese and the bacon get stuck in the crinkles.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, taste a sensation in your mouth. So as always, I am a hungry ninja sister.
And I'm a thirsty pandalicious.
And we are out of here.
And up next is Anime Jam Session.